Every time we have singing night, I'm always reminded of Brother Jack Cole, who led singing at one of the first congregations I was at. And Jack one evening was singing a three-verse song, and he decided, or he just forgot, and he sang the third verse twice. And of course, Chris tonight sang, he skipped the second verse of a four-verse song, but you know, the old saying used to be that you hoped you had a better chance of going to heaven than you did of singing the third verse of a four-verse song. I told Jack, I said, I just hope my chances of going to heaven are better than singing the fourth verse of a three-verse song. So, fortunately, we didn't have any of that tonight. Back at the turn of last century, there was a boat in the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of South America. And as they were going along, they had a mechanical failure and they lost all power and ability to move the boat. This was after the time of sails. This boat was driven by an engine. And they were unable to go anywhere, and they were lost at sea for 30 days. Over the course of those 30 days, they ran out of water and a lot of other supplies, but the water was really the thing that was the worst. Because those men were slowly wasting away as a result of not having water. Their lips were chapped to the point of bleeding. Their tongues were swelling. They were beginning to hallucinate and have all kinds of issues with their health. They were passing out. And after 30 days on the sea, they looked and they saw some white smoke on the horizon. And they kept watching and it got closer. And pretty soon the small shape of a ship took form. And slowly but surely it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And they finally began to have some hope that this might actually be a ship, not some hallucination that they were having. And they were flying their flag upside down, which was the universal sign for distress. And the ship came along up beside them, and they lowered their anchor to the excitement of the crew on board. And a little boat came down, and they began to row across between the two boats. And they came up to their boat, and they used the last few drops of water to put into their captain's mouth so that he could speak. In the little boat, the guy said, "What do y'all need? What can we do to help you?" And they said, "We need water." And they said, "Drop a bucket, it's all around you." They thought they were mocking them. And the little boat turned around and rowed back to the other ship. It was pulled up on board. In fact, the captain was so upset, he ordered them to fire a shot at the little boat as it was going back, and they did. But yet it went back, it was hauled up, and the boat towed up anchor and went away. One of the guys finally, just in desperation, said, "Well, I'm going to try it." And he threw a bucket over the side and he pulled it back up and he drank and he drank and he drank. And he told the guys, "It's fresh water." And they all began to drink. Because you see, the Amazon River puts forth such a volume of water into the Atlantic Ocean that the Atlantic Ocean is fresh water for 700 miles from the mouth of the Amazon River. And they were sitting within that 700 miles, literally starving for water, and it was all around them. In John chapter 7, Jesus is at the Feast of the Tabernacles. And this was one of the more joyous feasts that they had of the Jewish feast times. And this was a time in which all the Jewish males were required to come to Jerusalem, and they had this great feast. It was not just a one-day feast. Instead, it lasted for 7 days. And by the time of our Lord, it was lasting 8 days. But every day, they did the same thing. They would leave the temple with a procession of the high priest, and he would go down with this jug, and he would go down to the pool of Siloam, which was fed by a spring, and he would dip that jug into the pool of Siloam, put that up on his shoulder, and then carry it back in a procession back to the tabernacle, or back to the temple rather, where he would go to the altar, and he would pour that into a silver funnel, and it would pour out onto the ground, and the people would cheer and wave palm leaves while he did this. And this was to commemorate what God did for them in the wilderness when He gave them water, when He provided water from the rock. See, God has always been about providing water. But on the 8th day of this feast, the last day of the feast, the greatest day of the feast, our Lord stands there in the middle of all these people, and He says this, if I can find it. Yes. Verse 37. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. If anyone is thirsty, I am the water of life." He told the woman at the well, "If you knew who I was, you would ask me for water, because I would give you water, and it would cause a spring to swell up from within you, leading to eternal life. I give you water, you'll never thirst again." My friends, there are people all over our world and in Cary, North Carolina today that are starving for life, looking for it. And I tell you, there are people out there that want to know truth, or they want to find something about God. Why do you think so many people follow people that keep predicting over and over the end of the world that never comes? Why do you think they follow people like David Koresh? Why do they follow some of these televangelists that show that they have no interest in a moral or a godly life or anything about truth, and yet they'll keep following them and following them? Because people are starving for truth, and yet they're not finding it, and it's all around them. But they just don't drop their bucket, do they? It's all around them. We all have Bibles. Bibles are available in plenty around here. But there's also us. We need to tell them to drop their bucket, right? Drop down and get some water. Jesus says, "If you're thirsty, I will give you drink. And this is the water of life." May we point people to it. May we tell them that it's all around them, if only they will go get it, come to it, and find life. This evening, if you're not a child of God, Jesus says, "Are you thirsty? Come to me. I will give you drink. I'll give you eternal life. It will spring up in you. You will never know thirst again. Spiritual thirst, you will never know it. Because Jesus will provide, just as God provided in the desert. God gave them what they needed, and if you come to Him, God will give you what you need this evening, and you need forgiveness of sins. Come believing in Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God. Be buried in baptism, having your sins washed away in the waters of baptism, to rise to walk a new life, a life where water, that water of life flows forth from you to give others what you found. This evening, if you're a child of God, maybe you've strayed away. Maybe you've forgotten the water that has given you so much refreshment. May you come back. Come back to Christ, repent of your sins, confess them, know that He is faithful and just to forgive you, and once again, know those waters that lead to eternal life. We can assist you in any way this evening in coming to Christ, in coming to the one that says, "Come, if you're thirsty, come to me." Won't you let us, as we stand and as we sing.